Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
All right. Well, hey, you know, when you kind of look at like the world and scripture and things along those lines, it becomes really, really obvious that God has revealed himself in many different ways. Simply by looking at creation, right, you can begin to be aware that this is not, you know, the happy accident of an uncaring universe. And scripture is really clear that, you know, Genesis 1, everything was created because God spoke it into existence. There's places in the New Testament, like Romans chapter 1, that says, simply by looking at creation, it becomes obvious that there is a creator and you can be aware of his divine attributes and his power, right? You can know a little bit about God simply by looking at creation, but you can't know everything there is about God. And so you realize that looking at creation reveals God. But also God has revealed himself through things like miracles. If you look back in the Old Testament, there's a moment where the nation of Israel is in slavery to the nation of Egypt. And through these 10 supernatural moments, like God sets them free, these miracles. And if you were witness to those things, that would be really good evidence for God. In John chapter 2, Jesus is at a wedding and they run out of wine at a wedding. And so Jesus transforms water into wine. And the scripture says this was Jesus' first miracle on earth. And it was revealing his glory of who he was. And so there are miracles that God performs that reveal who he is. Again, you can know a little bit more about God from that, but you can't know everything. God reveals himself through people. Again, in the Old Testament, you have prophets who are speaking on behalf of God. They're sharing messages that are true, messages of things that are going to come into being later. In the New Testament, you have the apostles are talking about all the things they've seen, they've heard, they've experienced. Even today, Christians share with one another and anyone who will listen about what God has done in their lives and the truth of who he is. And so God will use people to reveal himself in our lives. He also uses scripture, right? The Bible. And so God is speaking, right? He spoke through humans, right? As they're writing these things down, these aren't the best ideas and insightful thoughts of especially spiritual people. This is God, the Holy Spirit, enabling people to share truth about who God is. And the most clearly way that God has revealed himself is through the person, the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. There is no more clear description of who God is than Jesus himself. In fact, there's a moment where Jesus says to his disciples, "If you've seen me, you have seen the Father." Right? He is the clearest description. In fact, I really appreciate what Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 say about who Jesus is. It says this, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways." And so he's saying, listen, yes, God has spoken through prophets. God has spoken through the scriptures of the Old Testament. Look at verse 2. "But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe." Check this out. "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being." Right? And so God has spoken with amazing clarity through Jesus. Everything that we need to know about who God is found in Jesus Christ and is also found in the scriptures. And this is what the Bible says about who Jesus is. But I have a question for you. What about you? What do you say about Jesus? Who do you say that Jesus is? And there's a lot of views, there's a lot of opinions and perspectives out there about who Jesus is. Yeah, some people, they go, well, this he was a good man, right? Jesus clearly is a good man. He's out feeding people, he's healing people, he's giving them hope, those types of things. Some would say Jesus was a revolutionary, right? He was ahead of his time. Like, absolutely remarkable. Others would say he was compassionate beyond anyone else of his time and generation, probably even for any time in any generation. Others would say he was a phenomenal teacher, right? Giving us insights, depths to humanity and what it is to be a person and all of those things. And so you see one perspective there. But then you have other people go, you know, hey, Jesus, I think he was delusional. He had too high a view of himself, right? And if Jesus wasn't delusional, then probably like other his followers were. They just took it way too far, right? And so this is, you know, Christianity and Jesus is just, it's delusional. Others would say, I think he was a con man, right? Or at the very least, he was mentally unstable, you know, not fully understanding everything that he was doing. Right? And so you have that on the negative side of Jesus. And then you have a group of people who have seen what Jesus has said and done in the scriptures. And they look at that and they go, Jesus is God. And they hold to that. And they plant their flags in the ground on that. Right? Who do you say that Jesus is? What about you? How you answer that question touches every other aspect of your life, right? It's a critical question. And I want to tell you, this is one of the reasons why Lighthouse Community exists. More than anything else that we do as a church, what we do is we try to help people discover who Jesus is. Is from the scriptures, right? We try to help you discover what God has to say about himself through the Bible. Not what other people think, not what our best ideas, but what does scripture say about who God is and how he's revealed himself? Our goal is to make truth so clear and so obvious in order that you can make decisions for your life, right? So we're not trying to guilt anybody. We're not trying to manipulate anybody. We're not trying to get you to do stuff that we think you ought to do. We're simply trying to share the best biblical truth and data for you to make decisions in your life based on faith. We want to help you see truth from Scripture. More than anything else, that's what we do here. And if that's something that you're interested in, you're going to do really well. If you're looking for something else, you're probably going to be really frustrated over time. But I want to tell you, if you want to know who God is, this is a place. No matter where you are in the spectrum, maybe you're here today, I think Jesus is a con man. Maybe you're here today and you're going, I think he was really compassionate. And maybe you're here going, I actually think he might have been God, but I need to understand more of what Scripture has to say. We can walk with all of you and point you to hope and truth from Scripture who Jesus is. Speaking of that, if you brought a Bible, I'm going to ask you to open up your Bible to Matthew chapter 16, as Pastor Matt mentioned, or you can click over there onto your device and punch in Matthew 16 and get there. While you're going to Matthew 16, I want to welcome you. My name's Fritz. I'm one of the pastors here. Super glad you're starting off 2025 with us. Thanks for being with us today. We are kicking off this brand new series today called Bedrock. Discovering the Foundations of Christianity. And this is just a really brief two-week series that we're getting into, and we're just looking like, why is Christianity Christianity? What is central about that? And we're also kind of going, okay, what does that mean for Lighthouse Community and how we're shaped and what God is asking us to do? So we're kind of putting all of that together into this brief series. And so I do want to welcome all of our guests. I'm super glad you are here with us today. And then I want to give a special shout out to a group of people who are joining us through Lighthouse Online. We're really glad you're with us today. I'm wondering, hey, Lighthouse family, could we just welcome everybody who's joining us at Lighthouse Online this morning? Let them know that we are really glad you are here today. Thanks for joining us. If you're in the Hancock County area, we hope one day you'll come and join us in person. It's just different when you're in the house. And so hope you'll be here. Okay, before we get into the scripture, let's take a moment and pray together. God, more than anything, we want to hear what you have to say. We want to hear truth from scripture. We want you to lead us into truth. That's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit. We recognize that. And so, Spirit, you are welcome in this place more than anybody else, and that you would lead us into the truth of who Christ is and then what that means for us. Would you grant us the courage and the boldness to actually walk in faith with you, whatever that may mean for our individual lives. We ask these things in the good name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Okay, hey, Matthew 16, we're going to be starting in verse 13, kind of jumping into the middle of what was going on here. And this is what it says. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Now, there's this huge moment, right? I don't think that we really appreciate what's going on in this moment. This is a massive, massive moment where Jesus asks his disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter's response is, you're God, essentially, right? This is essentially what he's saying. Peter is exposing that his eyes have been opened to truth, right? And the question is, what truth? And there's kind of three levels to this thing where he says, you know, Jesus, you are the Son of Man, you are the Messiah, and you are the Son of the living God. And really quickly, I want to walk through those because I don't know that this is language we use all the time. So we need to unpack what that means for just a moment to appreciate the weight of this moment in Scripture. So let's talk first about this Son of Man, right? Because Jesus says, who do people say is the Son of Man? Now, this is not just some term that Jesus came up with, the Son of Man. In fact, you originally find this phrase in the Old Testament in Daniel chapter 7. And so Daniel was a follower of God, and God used him to kind of prophesy about some things that would happen in the future. And in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel shares a vision that he had. Daniel 7, verse 13, it says this. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. And so what Daniel is saying, he goes, listen, I saw this vision, and I saw what looked like a human being. He looked just like a person, and yet he was doing things that only God does. So he's like a human being, but he's just like God. And he's got authority, and he's got power, and all of the nations worship him, and his authority lasts forever, right? And so one of the things that Peter is saying, he's going, Jesus, I see that you're the Son of Man that Daniel was talking about in the Old Testament, right? Because Jesus is God himself wrapped in flesh as a man. And so he's fully human and he's fully God, right? Fitting the description of Daniel chapter 7. But also, right, one day every knee is going to bow in heaven and on earth and below the earth. This is what Philippians chapter 2 talks about. And every knee will bow down and will confess and worship Jesus Christ as Lord, right? So that's what Daniel was talking about. Right? And Jesus' kingdom is an eternal kingdom that has no end. And so what Peter is saying is going, you are that Son of Man that Daniel had a vision of hundreds of years ago. But not only that, he says, you are the Messiah. By the way, Messiah is the Jewish way to say Christ, right? Christ is Messiah, Messiah is Christ. Those are the same terms, just in different languages. Christ is Greek, Messiah is Jewish. And so he says, you are the Messiah. Now, let me share a couple things that are important to understand about the Messiah. So Jews, especially before Jesus' time, after they had been decimated by the nation of Babylon, this is kind of really when this whole idea of the Messiah would come and rescue the nation of Israel. And so the Jews expected that the Messiah, based on Scripture, that the Messiah would be from King David's line. He would reestablish King David's throne. The Messiah would come and give deliverance, right? The Messiah would deliver them from their Gentile enemies, the Babylons, the Assyrians, whoever might have been conquering them at the time. And they also firmly believed that the Messiah would come and restore the temple, because at that time the temple had been destroyed. And so they believed the Messiah would come back and restore the temple. This is their place of worship, right? This is where you receive forgiveness from sins and you really connect with God on another plane and another level. And so the Jews believed that about the Messiah. And Peter says, Jesus, I know that you are the Messiah. And when you look at the life and the ministry of Jesus, you begin to see and understand why Matthew and Luke trace the lineage of Jesus, right, all the way back to Adam. And you know who's included, for both Matthew and Luke, who is included in the lineage of Jesus as being an ancestor to Jesus? David. Right? He makes his way all the way back to King David, the king over Israel. Because Jesus, not only is he an ancestor or a descendant of King David, but he's also from the tribe of Judah, which is the exact same tribe that David was a part of as well. And so Jesus fits the lineage that they were expecting. Now, he does come and he delivers. But he doesn't deliver simply from Israel's enemies. He delivers from the greatest enemy of all humankind. Sin and death, right? Jesus came, and through his death and through his resurrection, he conquered sin and death, right? So now we're two out of three for what the hope was for the Messiah. And the last one is that he would restore the temple. Well, Jesus, he doesn't restore the temple, the building, but what he does is he actually restores the true temple. He restores true worship. Those of you who are familiar with Scripture, where does Jesus say that true worship will take place? He says it's not going to be in this temple, it's not going to be in that temple, on this mountain, on that mountain. He says true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. And the temple no longer is an exterior building, but the temple for every believer is you, right? You, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, now the Holy Spirit lives in you, and the Scripture refers to you as the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are now the location where worship takes place from to God because of what Jesus has done. And so here you have Jesus as Messiah, right? He's from the lineage of David. He delivers us from our truest enemy, and he restores the truest of worship like never before. And Peter says, you're the Messiah. But he doesn't stop there. He goes, you're also the Son of the living God, right? See, there's a difference between living gods and dead gods. And dead gods are things like this. Idols made from stone or wood or metal or pictures or things along those lines. And our God, right, this is what Jesus is saying, this is what Peter is saying. He goes, our God is not a dead God. Our God is a living God. He's alive. This is actually the God who created everything from the beginning. He himself is the source of life. All life emanates from our God. He says, Jesus, you are the Son of the living God. You know, one of the other apostles later in his life, the Holy Spirit prompts him to write a letter. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, this is what he writes. Actually, let's do this. Let's read these passages out loud together, starting with, and this is the testimony. Are you ready? Go. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has, whoever does not have the Son of God. Yeah. You are the Son of the living God. And John writes, if you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life, right? Peter saw this with amazing clarity. And begs for me, and maybe the question is being begged for you too, right? The question is this, how? How did Peter see all of this? How did this come to realization for him in his life? Well, there's a couple of ways, and I'll tell you really quickly. Number one, Peter was witness to the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, okay? Peter was there. Peter heard the teachings of Jesus. Peter saw the miracles, things like walking on the water, healing people. One of the first things that Peter encountered, he's out fishing all night long and they don't catch anything at all. And Jesus, right, they come up to the bank and Jesus is there. Jesus is a rabbi, by the way. And he's up on their beach and they're all tired and they're cleaning their nets. And Jesus goes, "How'd it go last night?" "Not good," right? Like, "I don't need an armchair quarterback right now, Jesus." And Jesus goes, "Hey, why don't you throw your nets out over there?" And Peter's like, "We've been out all night. We didn't catch anything. But I guess because you said something, we'll go." So they go and they haul in this catch like they have never caught before. They bring it back and Peter falls before Jesus, beginning to get an inkling of who he is. He falls at his feet and he goes, "Away from me. I am a sinful man and I don't deserve to be in your presence," right? And so Peter is witness to these very powerful, special moments, and he's seeing all of this in his life. And so this is helping him to put two and two together. But I want you to notice, Jesus makes a really, really clear statement in verse 17 of Matthew 16. He goes, right, Peter says, "You're the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of the living God." And Jesus, what does Jesus say? He goes, "Blessed are you. This wasn't revealed to you by people. This wasn't revealed to you because you got smart enough, disciplined enough, you got your stuff together, you did the math and two together, and you figured out that I was the Son of God." He goes, no, that's not how it happened. What does he say? He says, "Instead, it was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." Here's what you have to understand. This is what Peter was learning in this moment. It is a supernatural work of God when your eyes are opened to the truth of Jesus. It is a miracle when anybody sees for the first time and again and again and again that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the Son of man. And you have to catch this. You cannot discipline your way into faith, right? You can't work your way towards God. You can't be smart enough. You can't be good enough. Golly, if people like you, it doesn't matter, right? It is a gift. It is a gift to be able to see Jesus as he truly is. And this is actually one of the roles of the Holy Spirit. Jesus talks about this in John 16. He goes, you know, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit will be that he's the Spirit of truth because he will lead you into all truth. He's the one who opens your eyes to the reality that Jesus is the Son of God. You didn't figure that out on your own. I didn't figure that out on my own. It is a gift from God that you can see with clarity that Jesus is who he said that he is. And so seeing the truth of Jesus is a gift. And Peter, in this moment, he's expressing, "I see it, right? I see it. I see you in clarity. I get it," right? He saw who Jesus is. Now, here's the thing. You and I, we need this same clarity too. We need the same clarity that Peter had when it comes to seeing who Jesus is. So the question is, how do you get it? How do you get that clarity? How do you get to the place where you can see Jesus as the Son of God, as the Christ? I'm going to share with you how, and I'm going to share it with you, and it's very important that you catch what I share with you, but it's going to be a little bit underwhelming, okay? I'm going to say it, and some of you guys are going to go, "That's it? Like that? I paid to get in here just for that?" Number one, it's free. Number two, you get what you pay for. Number three, it doesn't mean it's not true, okay? So here's what, how do I get it? How do I get to see the clarity of Jesus that Peter had? Here it is. Ask God to reveal to you that Jesus is the Christ. Ask God to reveal to you that Jesus is the Christ. That's how you get it. A little underwhelming, right? But it doesn't make it any less true. It's still true, okay? Now, some of you are going, okay, I'll hang with you for a second. Why? Why do I need to ask God to reveal to me that Jesus is the Christ? Here's why. Because putting your faith in Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah, this is the bedrock of Christianity. That is the base level foundation of what it means to be a Christian and a follower of Jesus Christ. If you are wishy-washy on the fact that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the Savior, the leader, Lord of all, the resurrected one, if you have questions and you don't really even believe that, you're not a Christian. It's that central, okay? Doesn't mean you can't be seeking. It doesn't mean you can't be discovering. It just simply means if you haven't come to the place where Jesus is God in the Christ, this is the bedrock of Christianity, right? In fact, in Acts chapter 2, Peter's teaching about who Jesus is. He's teaching about all of this stuff. And people ask him, they go, well, what do we do? What should we do? And here's his reply. He says, repent, right? Turn away from your life of self-centeredness and sin. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Right? He's like, you cannot get past the truth and the reality of Jesus. Other scripture says this, that either Jesus is the cornerstone on which you build all of your life on, or he becomes the stumbling block under which you get crushed. He's the centerpiece. Jesus is the bedrock of faith. Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. This is how central it is. Look what he says. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And so what Paul is writing is the centerpiece on Christianity is this, is Jesus who he said he is? That's the foundation. That's the bedrock, right? And you got to hear this. It does for you, it does not matter what other people say about Jesus. It doesn't matter what I say about Jesus. It doesn't matter what your friends say. It doesn't matter what your family says, what your parents say. It doesn't matter for you. It doesn't matter what other people say about Jesus. It matters for you what you say about Jesus, right? And we read, anybody who has the Son has life, and anybody who doesn't have the Son does not have life. You have to understand that Jesus is the bedrock of Christianity. I'm going to say some things that I don't know, they might bother some of you. Sunday morning church is not the bedrock of Christianity. A rockin' kids ministry and youth group is not the bedrock of Christianity. Songs that you like and you can stomach or you deal with, I wish we did the old ones, I hope we keep doing the new ones, whatever it is, we need more guitar, more drums, less drums. That is not the bedrock of Christianity. The building in which you meet is not the bedrock of Christianity. Whatever your hobby horse is when it comes to Christianity or religion is not the bedrock of Christianity. Jesus Christ alone is the bedrock. And if you have not come to the place where that's where you plant your flags, if you are arguing, I'm just talking to the Christians right now, all right? So if you're here discovering who Jesus is, you can just turn that off, right, just for a second. I just got to talk to my brothers and sisters for just a moment. If the main thing you are arguing about with people who aren't even Christians or even people who are Christians are things that are off to the side about how we worship the Lord, find something else to get angry about. You know what you ought to get angry about? People who are living without Jesus. And if he comes back today, it's the worst day of their life. Best day for me, because I have the Son and I have life. Worst day for people who don't have Jesus, because they don't have life. Right? The bedrock of Christianity is not your brand of religion. The bedrock is Jesus Christ himself. You've got to ask God to reveal to you that Jesus is the Christ. How do you do that? That's why. How do you do it? I'm going to tell you really, really quickly. It's very simple. Number one, you pray. You pray. You just ask God. This is a prayer that Paul actually wrote to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. He's praying for others, that God would open their eyes to the reality of who Jesus Christ is. And so listen, there is no prayer that you will pray that God loves to answer more then open my eyes so that I can see with clarity that Jesus is the Christ. God will answer that prayer. And so I want to say, if you're here this morning and you're seeking and you're discovering who God is, pray, ask God. Ask God, say, I'm trying to catch you. I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to learn. Ask him to open your eyes. And if you're already a Christ follower, one of the greatest ways you can serve your family and friends is to pray for them. Pray that God would open their eyes to reveal that Jesus is the Christ. And so simply pray, right? Here's the second way. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. We're talking about looking at the life of Jesus. This was something that Jesus used in the life of Peter. He uses it in our lives as well. And the scriptures aren't just stories or historical accounts. There's something more going on there. These are inspired by the Spirit. They're used by the Spirit. In fact, in one of the passages, it says this, that the Word of God is living and active. It's alive. It discerns our thoughts and our intentions. And, you know, it cuts like it's sharper than any double-edged sword, right? It splits bone from marrow and soul from spirit. It discerns your thoughts, right? And so when you're reading scripture, scripture is reading you at the exact same time. It's remarkable. Peter, right? Peter writes a letter, and in his letter, he writes this. He goes, we didn't follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my son whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Check this out. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. He's like, listen, we are simply sharing with you everything we saw and we heard. I was there, man. I was there when Jesus walked on water. I was there when the voice from heaven declared on the mountain that Jesus is the Son of God. I was there. I made a boneheaded move, but I was there, right? All right, I was there. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you'll do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. That is a powerful moment when you read the scriptures, and all of a sudden, your eyes are opened to the reality of who Jesus is, who God is. It's like the sun coming up over the horizon, which just breaks light over top of everything. I remember when my oldest son, Jackson, was about 5 years old, and we lived in Port Clinton at the time. And I got up early, and I woke him up with me, and we drove out to Marblehead, where the lighthouse is, and we got there before the sunrise came up. And so there was like us two and then maybe like three other people. And we're like waiting. And Jackson's like, what are we doing here? Right? I want to go back to bed. And so we're out there on the beach, right on the rocks right there. And then all of a sudden, you start to see it getting brighter and brighter. And then out of nowhere, the sun just explodes out of the water, casting light all over the lake and everything. And I'll never forget my five-year-old's expression. He just goes, wow. That's what it's like when God reveals to you that Jesus is the Christ. Wow. Are you serious? Simply reading the scriptures, God can use that to transform your life. And I would encourage you, right? If you're not engaged in the scriptures, maybe that's a next step for you, is that you would start 2025 simply reading the Bible. Not for life hacks, not to guilt yourself, not how to be a better person, not how to argue with people, but simply to discover who God is. And as you read those words and the words read you, there comes a moment where you go, wow. If you're new to Bible reading, you might do places. A couple weeks ago, I recommended like the Gospel of Mark and the letter to the Romans. I think those are great places. You know, if you started with the Gospel of John and you read just one chapter a day, which would take you about 4 minutes, 4 minutes on average, you could read the entire Gospel of John in 21 days. Gospel of John, 21 days. That's just before January even ends. And John is all about who Jesus is. We also have a Bible reading plan. It's one of my favorites. It's called 30 Days with Jesus. You might grab that and just reading a couple passages each day, discovering who Jesus is. I'm telling you, it'll change your life. And so those are some next steps on the back of your card. If you'd like to receive like the 30 days with Jesus, we'll send that to you. I think there's copies on the fireplace on the Welcome Center. On your way out, you could grab some of those as well. But listen, I want to tell you something. Right here, what we're doing right now, this is what Lighthouse Community does. We simply do our best to reveal from the scriptures who God is. We try to reveal, to just show him, to point to him, to say, look what scripture says about him. Look what's going on. Look, there's a lot of things we don't do as a church on purpose. I know some of you guys come from other churches and you go, hey, when is your church going to? When's the time? And it's like, we don't. You're actually not going to encounter that here. Well, why not? Because this is what we do. This is what we do on Sunday mornings. This is what we do in our small groups. This is what we do in Lighthouse Kids. This is what we do in Lighthouse Students. We simply try to reveal the truth from Scripture and invite people who want to walk with him. That's it. That's it. There's not a lot of things we do very well. That one, we try to do better than anything else that we do. And so if you want to discover who Jesus is, if you want to discover who God is, hang around. You are welcome. Roll with us. Chill with us. You are welcome here. Discover the joy of knowing God. You are one of the primary reasons why we are here today. Right? We want you to know who Jesus is. And I'm going to leave you with this thought. If you seek God, you will find him. If you seek God on his terms, if you seek God looking as he has revealed himself, you will find him. Look at what Deuteronomy 4:29 says. It says this, if you search for him with all your heart and your soul, you will find him. That is a promise that he gives. Ask God to reveal to you that Jesus is the Christ, because he's the bedrock. Everything else is built off of that foundation. I want to invite you to close your eyes and to bow your heads. We tend to end each teaching with one question, and it's simply this. Jesus, what are you saying to me through this scripture and through this message? And then I give you a few moments to reflect and to listen to what God might be saying to you right now. Father, my heartfelt prayer more than anything else today, whether this is someone's first time in a church building for their entire lives or years or decades, or whether a person has spent their entire life in a church, my prayer is that today, even right now, that the Spirit of truth would open our eyes to the truth of who Jesus is, and that many for the very first time would see him as the Christ, as the Messiah, as the Son of the living God, as the Son of Man, the one in whom life alone resides. But I also pray that for believers, they would see again freshly that Jesus is the Christ. And he's the bedrock. Everything else is off to the side. It comes after that. That's the bedrock. Teach us how to see that with clarity and lead us to have courage to make decisions in light of that truth, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we pray. If you're new to Lighthouse Community, one of the things we really love doing is praying for one another. And so we want to pray for you. Let me explain what's going to happen here. The band's going to come up and they're going to lead us in just one more song. And while they're coming up, we're actually going to have prayer leaders who will be in the four corners of the room. And they're going to be available to pray with you about any area of your life, any area at all. And so, listen, just like at communion, you don't have to be a member of Lighthouse to participate in the Lord's Supper. You don't have to be a member of Lighthouse to receive prayer. And you don't have to be a Christian to receive prayer from one of our prayer leaders. Anybody can receive prayer And please don't ever feel embarrassed that you might walk to a corner and have somebody pray for you, right? It's actually a very normal thing here. Most weekends, if I'm not serving as a prayer leader, I'm asking one of these people to pray for me because I need prayer, man. Like I live life too, right? Like I just went through the holidays with family members. I know what it's like to need prayer, right? So we all need prayer. I got 2025 looking me down the barrel too. So it's okay. Don't ever be embarrassed to want to receive prayer because we all need it, right? And so I'm going to ask you here in the house, let's stand together as we transition into a time of singing. And if you'd like to pray, I would encourage you, don't wait. Just step out of your seat, head down the aisle, head to one of the four corners. All of our prayer leaders have this little cool badge. I know we don't need no stinking badges, but we have these badges that say we want to pray for you. And, you know, that's how you can know that they're a prayer leader. So let me pray for you, and then I want to invite you to do the same thing. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw every single person who needs prayer right now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to pray, don't wait. We'd love to pray with you.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.